was an old stick lying on the bench that had been used for stirring paint. George picked it up and started to stir his marvellous concoction. The mixture was as thick as cream, and as he stirred and stirred, many wonderful colours rose up from the depths and blended together, pinks, blues, greens, yellows and browns. George went on stirring until it was all well mixed, but even so there were still hundreds of pills lying on the bottom that hadn't melted. And there was his mother's splendid powder puff floating on the surface. "I shall have to boil it all up," George said. "One good quick boil on the stove is all it needs." And with that, he staggered back towards the house with the enormous heavy saucepan. On the way, he passed the garage, so he went in to see if he could find any other interesting things. He added the following: half a pint of engine oil to keep Grandma's engine going smoothly, some antifreeze to keep her radiator from freezing up in winter, a handful of grease to grease her creaking joints, then back to the kitchen. In the kitchen, George put the saucepan on the stove and turned up the gas flame underneath it as high as it would go. "George!" came the awful voice from the next room. "It's time for my medicine!" "Not yet, Grandma," George called back. "There's still 20 minutes before 11 o'clock. "What mischief are you up to in there now?" Granny screeched. "I hear noises." George thought it best not to answer this one. He found a long wooden spoon in a kitchen drawer and began stirring hard. The stuff in the pot got hotter and hotter. Soon the marvellous mixture began to froth and foam. A rich blue smoke, the colour of peacocks, rose from the surface of the liquid, and a fiery, fearsome smell filled the kitchen. It made George choke and splutter. It was a smell unlike any he had smelled before. It was a brutal and bewitching smell, spicy and staggering, fierce and frenzied, full of wizardry and magic. Whenever he got a whiff of it up his nose, firecrackers went off in his skull and electric prickles ran along the backs of his legs. It was wonderful to stand there, stirring this amazing mixture, and to watch it smoking blue and bubbling and frothing and foaming as though it were alive. At one point, he could have sworn he saw bright sparks flashing in the swirling foam. And suddenly, George found himself dancing around the steaming pot, chanting strange words that came into his head out of nowhere. "Fiery broth and witch's brew, foamy froth and witch's blue, fume and spume and spoon drift spray, fizzle, swizzle, shout hooray! Watch it sloshing, swashing, splashing, hear it hissing, squishing, spissing! Grandma, better start to pray!" George turned off the heat under the saucepan. He must leave plenty of time for it to cool down. When all the steam and froth had gone away, he peered into the giant pan to see what colour the great medicine now was. It was a deep and brilliant blue. "It needs more brown in it," George said. "It simply must be brown or she'll get suspicious." George ran outside and dashed into his father's tool shed where all the paints were kept. There was a row of cans on the shelf, all colours, black, green, red, pink, white and brown. He reached for the can of brown. The label said simply, "Dark brown, gloss paint, 1 quart. He took a screwdriver and prized off the lid. The can was 3/4 full. He rushed it back to the kitchen. He poured the whole lot into the saucepan. The saucepan was now full to the brim. Very gently, George stirred the paint into the mixture with the long wooden spoon. Aha! It was all turning brown, a lovely, rich, creamy brown. "Where's that medicine of mine, boy?" came the voice from the living room. "You're forgetting me. You're doing it on purpose, I shall tell your mother."
"I'm not forgetting you, Grandma," George called back.
I'm thinking of you all the time. But there are still 10 minutes to go.
You're a nasty little maggot, the voice screeched back. You're a lazy and disobedient little worm and you're growing too fast.